Live from the In the Room studios located in the NetCarrier and Cloud, this is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Welcome to Rugged Raw right here live on the VOC Nation Worldwide. I'm Dean Compton. I know you listen to me every Sunday night right here on VOCNation.com with Compton After Dark, and every Thursday night at midnight on Her Dork World, His Dork World. Every so often, they let me out of my cage and say, why don't you talk a little bit about some contemporary wrestling? And I do the Rugged Raw. Alongside me today is my illustrious co-host from Compton After Dark, Ryan Mays. How are you doing today?
What it do.
And with us tonight, we are always very excited to have former WCW star, the Stro. Stro, how you been, man?
Doing great. Great to be here.
Well, it is great to be here. Always great to talk to you. But personally, I think that was a pretty lackluster episode of Raw. Anybody out there who agrees, disagrees, questions, comments, concerns, opinions, 855-VOC-RADIO, 855-862-7234. Stro, what did you think? Like, I just wasn't impressed top to bottom.
Well, you know, it wasn't much wrestling on the program, but it was more of like a build up to the pay per view, more or less. But you know, I personally like to see more matches myself.
Well, I think a big problem here, too, is just like a lot of the matches at SummerSlam are matches we saw at Battleground. And so while it's building up to the pay-per-view, Ryan, it seems like they have perpetually been building up to the same pay-per-view for, 3 months.
Yeah, I mean, other than Lesnar and Cena, it feels like we're just getting, you know, reheated leftovers from Battleground for sure. And tonight, what little matches we had, a lot of those were, didn't have finishes.
Yeah, there was a lot of screw job endings tonight, but of course it wouldn't be Raw if we didn't start out with what seemed like a 37-minute promo from John Cena, Stro.
Wow, yeah, that was went over the borderline there. Goodness gracious, I mean, it was intense, you know. And John Cena, you know, you put a lot of oomph in his, you know, promo talking about his match with Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam and everything with Paul Heyman on stage there. But it was just like, gosh, I mean, that was a pretty long promo. No doubt.
A long time. I know some people love John Cena, some people hate him. I'm almost to the point now where, you know, I disliked him intensely for a long time, but now, Ryan, I'm almost just ambivalent about him. I just expect it to be part of life. Like, if I get out on 285 at 3 p.m. here in Atlanta, 3, 4 p.m., that's just going to be traffic. If I turn on Raw, John Cena is just going to talk for half an hour.
Yeah, man, he's inevitable, like death and taxes.
And straight to DVD WWE movies.
Nice.
You know, I got to work it in, got to stay topical. But, he did the best he could, I think, but it was long, and he did try and stay intense, Stro, but, you know, I mean, you've been in the ring a lot. You've cut a lot of promos, been a part of a lot of angles. It's hard to stay that intense and passionate for that kind of an elongated amount of time.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And, but, I mean, he made a great effort. And, I mean, like, towards the end, I mean, the intensity was definitely there.
Yeah, it's hard for me to get excited about this match at SummerSlam, though, Strove, just because, you know, Lesnar's a part-timer, seen as the face of the company. You try and suspend your disbelief as much as you can, but when you know those things in the back of your mind, you wonder, you know, well, is there any other way this can go besides Cena winning? Or even if Lesnar wins, how long is he really going to be champ? You know, Strove?
Yeah, it's like, you know, I'm hoping Lesnar will put a little bit more time than what he has been, especially going after the championship, because, I mean, I just think it's only fair not only to the company but people watching to have a champion that's pretty much there.
Yeah, my girlfriend and I, she just started watching wrestling. We've been watching a lot of old ECW and WCW stuff, and I told her today about the old champion has to defend the title at least once every 30 days. And she was like, oh, that's a pretty good rule. And I was like, Ryan, and I was telling her, Ryan, I was like, it's pretty much out the window now, because there's just so much. The champion's actually got to defend the title three, maybe four times a month at least.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's different than, you know, back then it is now. I mean, like today's industry, I mean, you got to, like, stay on the attention span, you know, 24/7, you know?
Right. Your thoughts, Ryan?
No, yeah, that's it exactly. I mean, it's less than 30 days now because, first of all, there's a pay-per-view less than every 30 days.
Right. You know, things do come around fast, although in this day and age, you know, and that's one of the problems I had with this one, Stro, is just, I'm watching this Raw, and I watched Battleground because we cover WWE pay-per-views for anybody out there listening right here on VOCNation.com. On the Sunday nights, there's a pay-per-view. You'll find it. You'll find the coverage on Compton After Dark. And, you know, I watched Battleground, and I watched I can't even remember the name of the one that came on before that, but they just seem like Raws. And I watched this Raw, and it just seems like, you know, a mini pay-per-view, and the pay-per-views kind of just seem like Raw Plus. You know what I'm saying, Stro?
Yeah. This, you know, for a special event now rather than the pay-per-view, right? I mean,
right.
It should be quote-unquote special, right? But, you know, that's just me.
If the network didn't exist and people were buying these pay-per-views, they'd have every right to riot, Ryan.
No, man, I agree completely. And I think if the network wasn't going on, maybe put a little more effort into the pay-per-views. But maybe they feel like they can get away with these, you know, Raw Plus, like you say now.
Sometimes not even a Raw Plus, but really excited. You know, we got a caller on the line, and before we go into the John Cena Cesaro match that resulted from John Cena's Gone with the Wind length promo being interrupted by Paul Heyman and Cesaro, we're going to go ahead and get to Brian, who's on the line, wanted to have a couple words with the Stro. Brian, you're on Rubbed Raw.
Hey, how are you?
If I was doing any better, I'd tell you what, Brian, I'd have to be twins just to handle it.
That's great. Tonight's Raw, and, you know, in my opinion, you know, had a lot of ups and downs, I guess you could say. The whole thing with Kofi Kingston and, you know, their faction they got going on. I didn't really get all the point of them standing outside the ring and watching. I mean, I kind of expected them to more likely jump the Usos and, you know, do something. And the whole thing with John Cena coming out at the beginning of the show doing the promo, and then Antonio Cesaro coming out there, and they, you know, they put on a great match. But, you know, like me and my friend were talking earlier, he referees for NWA Atlanta. We were talking earlier about John Cena's movesets, and he, you know, if you really think about it, John Cena doesn't do a whole lot of type of different moves, and he needs to add more moves to his in-ring performance, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's had to bear the brunt of that criticism, I think, even when he was in his UPW days, before he was even in OVW being the prototype, Ryan. There are some good things you can say about John Cena as a wrestler and as an athlete, but one of them, Ryan, won't be that this guy knows a ton of moves.
Yeah.
No, I mean, you've seen him break out some moves on occasion when he feels like he has to prove himself, you know, like maybe say at a one-night stand or something when the crowd's really against him and he kind of has to show off a little bit. But, yeah, I mean, people lament the moves of doom for a reason. I mean, that's his that's his main, you know, moveset, and I mean, it's gotten him over, so, you know, he stuck with it.
Well, I think more important than move. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead, Brian.
Oh, that's
I'm
okay.
Sorry.
I got a question for the Stro. What are your thoughts on the rebuild of Stephanie McMahon thing? Do you think it's got a lot of potential going into SummerSlam? I mean, I thought last week when they had her arrested, you know, in storyline, I thought that was really awesome.
Well, I mean, that lead into tonight's deal with the altercation with the two, I mean, got a nice pop from the people. So I mean, I'm hoping it'll keep building up to the special event SummerSlam. So yeah. So far so good.
I like how the language barrier gets taken off when the boss is involved.
Right.
You know, all of a sudden you can break out a bitch. You know, all of a sudden you can say words that we haven't heard since 1999, 2000, 2001. She's stone cold Brie Bella out there, folks. Hey, Brian, you got anything else for us?
Let's see. The only other thing I want to mention, I guess, is I noticed. I don't know if y'all noticed this or not, but I caught on this at the end of the show whenever Stephanie McMahon was being let out and stuff, and the fans, instead of chanting about the segment, they were chanting Jamie Noble, you know, because Jamie Noble come out there to get Brie Bella. And I think the fans were excited to see Jamie Noble back, even though he's, you know, a backstage agent and everything.
You know, we couldn't make out what that chant was, Ryan.
No,
yeah,
that's funny.
I believe they were saying Jamie Noble.
Yeah, no.
Yeah,
go ahead.
That's a good example of the current like smarkiness of the WWE audience, right there.
It's pretty cool seeing Jamie Noble, Joey Mercury, and Finley all out there in the same place, the same segment.
I couldn't make out who that Joey Mercury was. I knew he looked familiar, but I didn't know who he was. I was hoping to see Dean Malenko because that guy's my favorite wrestler ever, but apparently he wasn't part of this one. Brian, you got anything else for us tonight?
No, I believe that'd be all, and I want to thank you for taking my call, and I hope you have a good night, Stro, and hope you all have a good night.
Thank you, buddy.
Hey, no problem, Brian. Brian, if you'll hold the line, I'd like to talk to you a little bit when we get to break about NWA Atlanta. Maybe we can have some of you guys on my show on Sunday night, Compton After Dark.
Okay.
If you got time. If you don't have time, no worries. But, you know, if you got time, I'll keep you on here.
Yeah. Yeah, I got time.
All right, I'll talk to you in just a little bit. See, folks, that's how a pro does it. You see that, Stro? You make a connection, you find something, you see that?
It's a beautiful thing.
It's always fun to see the agents come out, and he touched upon it, getting to see Jamie Noble, getting to see Pip Finley, getting to see Joey Mercury. And I think everybody likes that. It does play into the smarkiness, like you said. But I think another thing that it proves, Stro, is that WWE fans have a better sense of continuity and history than WWE would care to give them credit for.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, they call the shots.
Well, I mean, you'll hear often, you know, guys or leaked stuff from you know, as far as we know, it's actually leaked stuff from backstage meetings and stuff, Ryan. And they'll say, you know, oh, we can put whatever we want on because fans don't remember. But fans remember, and fans appreciate the history of WWE and this business in general.
Yeah, I don't get where they get that idea. I guess the idea comes from the fact that they can be as insulting as they want, and people keep watching. I mean, they're like a drug dealer. They know that, you know, like you had Triple H out last week, passive-aggressively joking about people that complain on Twitter or refuse to watch the show. And to a certain extent, he's got a point, because the people that watch continue to watch no matter what.
Yeah, it's true. They have a certain core that, you know, will always watch every week, regardless of quality or content. And that's actually good. I mean, it means they've grown their brand, and I hate using that phrase tremendously. I want to talk a little bit about this John Cena versus Cesaro match. I guess Cesaro is a Paul Heyman guy again. It came really quickly after, you know, I think last week. It's like, I don't like you, but they're pals again. And they had a really good match, Stro. But, again, and I said this about the Lesnar-Cena match at SummerSlam, there's just not a lot, you know, there's not a lot I can do to suspend my disbelief. It was impossible for me to believe that Cesaro would win this match.
Yeah, and see, that's the thing. Cesaro is an incredible athlete. I mean,
yeah, great wrestler.
I mean, he can do things in that ring most of the roster can't do. I mean, he's always amazes me some of the things he pulls off. And I just think, though, it'll just be a matter of time for Cesaro really be stepping up to the main event matches. I mean, that's just my opinion.
What do you think, Ryan, about that suspension of disbelief?
I mean, as far as the way the characters are being built right now, yeah, tonight you knew there was no way Cesaro was going over. But, yeah, I love Cesaro. Him and Cena have great chemistry together. You know, I've heard Cena remark on more than one occasion that he's really impressed with them. And a lot of people backstage seem to be impressed with them. They just haven't figured out what to do with them yet. The whole Heyman thing was kind of a mistake, I thought. But I'd love to see him, you know, in some higher profile matches sooner rather than later, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely, me too. Big fan of his since his days out on the indies. We're going to go ahead and take a break real quick, folks. You want to be a part of the show after the break? 855-VOC-RADIO, 855-862-7234. And we'll talk when we come back a little bit about Jericho and Stephanie McMahon having a little interaction. Dolph Ziggler and the Usos versus The Miz and Ryback. So, I mean, everything the rest, you know, from the rest of the show, you're going to get right here. It's VOC Nation Worldwide. You're listening to Rubbed Raw, the best Raw analysis you can get on the internet today. I'm Dean Compton. We'll be back right after this.
Live from the In the Room studios located in the Net Carrier and Cloud, this is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Hey, everyone. It is your favorite knockout, Mickey James, and you're listening to the VOC Nation.
Hey there. Hi there. Ho there. Thanks for coming on down. It's Save Wrestling, the podcast, and the business making town. I am your award-winning hostess with the mostest, Shelly Funtime Martinez, and she is my co-host, Dazzling Danielle.
Woo! Hello out there.
And together we are the Martinez Girls. You finally did it. And you can join us here Monday, new time, 6 p.m. Eastern on the VOC Nation as we save wrestling together, Danielle. Fighting crime. Woo!
Hey guys, Brady Hicks here, Pro Wrestling Illustrated contributing writer and the host of In the Room, thebradyhicks.com, and for the first time ever, VOCNation.com. So happy to be part of the family. Join us each and every Tuesday night, 9, 8 Central, VOCNation.com, thebradyhicks.com, myself, DJ, Derek McDonald, Ray Bogus, Anthony Sarlo, Kathy Fitz, breaking down all that's going on in wrestling today, and so much more.
RF Video is the world's leading distributor of pro wrestling merchandise and DVDs. They have over 5,000 wrestling titles to choose from your favorite wrestling promotions, WWE, TNA, ECW, and every wrestling promotion in between. RF Video is famous for their shoot interview series where they sit down with your favorite wrestlers from around the world, including the biggest names, Shawn Michaels, Ric Flair, Dusty Rhodes, Terry Funk, just to name a few. RF Video has many other unique DVDs to offer, like their in-ring series, face-off DVDs, best-of DVDs with your favorite wrestlers from every promotion around the world. Check out their sister video on demand website, rfvideonow.com, or you can purchase any of RF Video's DVDs by going to rfvideo.com. Head there today.
The most polarizing personalities worldwide. This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Looking for a DJ? Looking for someone to host your event? Then look no further. Philadelphia's hottest DJ and host, The Voice of Choice. The Voice of Choice has hosted the hottest events in the tri-state area. Book The Voice of Choice for all your karaoke, conventions, and parties. Go to www.vocnation.com for more information or email The Voice of Choice at voc@vocnation.com.
Are you getting lost in the cloud? Is technology moving too fast for you? Find your way at netcarrier.com. Ride the N-Cloud and soar above your competition.
this is Becky Nova, your Candyland princess, and I want everyone to know that I love VOCNation.com.
Hey, how's it going? This is Amy Dumas, but you may know me as Lita. You're listening to the VOC Nation.
Welcome back, and thanks for sticking with us through the break. You're listening to Rub Draw right here on the VOC Nation worldwide. I'm Dean Compton from Compton After Dark and Her Dork World, His Dork World, alongside Ryan Mays and former WCW star, The Stero. And we are having a pretty good time talking about what was not a pretty good Raw. And, you know, I was talking during the break, it can be a little difficult to go through this stuff step by step, you know, I mean, when we're talking about it, because, you know, we want to be entertained, and we want to entertain y'all out there, and when we're not entertained as much as we'd like to be by a Raw, it's hard for us to do it. But, Ryan, we're doing a great job. Everybody out there is more than entertained. I know it, you know it, Stro knows it.
We're giving this Raw more than deserves, I think.
I want to talk a little bit about Triple H and Stephanie coming out to the ring and having a back and forth with Jericho. And it just reminds me, and I only want to touch upon this real quick. Basically, it reminds me, Stro, of when Jericho became the first unified world champion in WWE history. And basically from then on, from the moment he won the belt, they basically showed us how not to book a champion.
Have
you there, Stro? Oh, sorry.
I'm here.
I didn't have you. Oh, there you are.
Okay. Hello. Yeah, it probably remembers the feud they had, you know what I mean, with Jericho and Hunter and, you know, Steph and remember the deal with the dog too?
Oh my gosh.
During that time.
Oh my gosh, it's just awful. It was just awful. Yeah. And it was funny to see them interact, because Ryan, that's all I can think of when I see the two of them together, aside from Chris Jericho finding 9,374 different ways to call Stephanie a slut back in the Attitude Era.
Yeah, well, he can't do that now, I guess. But, you know, Stephanie can say bitch all she wants. They just can't.
I guess Chris Jericho could have called her a bitch, since later Brie Bella was able to do that. But after that, you know, and nothing really big time came out of this. You know, I mean, it's basically they're continuing the Jericho-Wyatt feud, and later on we'll have Jericho in a match that continues that as well. A little six-man action, Ryan. Dolph Ziggler and the Usos versus The Miz and Ryback. And the New Nation came out to watch for a little bit, but didn't really do much of anything.
No, they didn't. And they don't have any kind of name or anything yet. I mean, I'm just going to call them the New Nation, which, you know, it's just kind of what I'm hoping they become. But you see them backstage, you know, Xavier Woods, Big E, and Kofi watching the match on the monitors. Then they come down to ringside, watch it from there. They're all talking amongst themselves, but nothing really happens. It just kind of seems like a wasted opportunity.
Stro, how do you feel about this six-man and the, I guess, the non-participation of what Ryan and I are calling the New Nation, for lack of a better term?
Well, I mean, the six-man, yeah, you know, well, hottest tag teams in the company, the Usos, and, you know, and the guy that and in my opinion, should be on top main eventing, Dolph Ziggler.
Yours and lots of other people.
Right. And they had The Miz, who's the new Intercontinental Champion. Right, and we were talking about Hollywood stars earlier with Cena, you know, ironically. And then, you know, that Bryan Baxel, in which it's hard to believe at one time people were chanting this guy's name, and now he's like tag matches with, you know, Hennig. And then, you know, you had now you got, like, I guess, like you said, the New Nation being formed. But I think they're kind of going with slow build, if you will, with this group. So, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, I just hope that if they do go in that direction, they don't, you know, half-ass it, because that's, you know, if you're going to do the Nation of Domination and you're going to do the Black Power angle, and I don't have a problem with it. You know, it's very contemporary. And unfortunately, until we eradicate both personal and institutional racism, it will remain contemporary. But if you're going to do this angle, Ryan, and we don't know that they are, they got to go all in.
Oh, yeah, man, absolutely. I mean, I'm just down with factions in general. So even just a hint, just a whiff of a faction in the air gets me excited. And I always love the Nations, though. The thought of them doing that again and doing it right, yeah, I mean, that gets me pretty stoked.
It's so weird how much, like, you and I love the Nation because, like, Ryan and I, Stro, we grew up in Arkansas, and you know, I mean, we're rural white folks, and we're like, I get that, that's great, go for it, Farouk. Like, totally not aimed at us, but totally got over with us, Stro.
Yeah, and look who came out of the Nation. I mean, you had Ron Simmons, you had like the Godfather, you had Owen Hart, you know, mixing the Rock. I mean, it produced, you know, great talent. And I'm hoping this new clique, this new faction, could elevate guys like Big E, Kofi Kingston, and Xavier Woods, you know, to bigger heights.
Oh, absolutely. And it's also coming out of the Nation was D'Lo Brown, who was people forget, but he was insanely over in the late 90s,
oh,
D'Lo's 98 and 99. He was, I mean, they really, if you asked me, you know, if we were going to name like top five mistakes of the Attitude Era, one of them would say they dropped the ball with D'Lo Brown. But we're not talking about Attitude Era. We're talking Bo Dallas versus R-Truth right here on Rub Draw. And Ryan, the streak is over. Bo Dallas lost on a quick roll up and then beat R-Truth from pillar to post.
Yeah, maybe Bo Dallas was just as disappointed as I was that R-Truth came out and the new Nation wasn't nowhere to be found, because I was really hoping they were going to do something with that. But, yeah, of all the ways for Bo Dallas to streak in, this is not the way I would have seen it happening.
What do you think, Stro?
Believe the truth. Pretty much.
I mean, it seemed anticlimactic for somebody they were sort of getting behind, but to be honest, I like Bo Dallas in NXT, but this gimmick feels a little minor league to me. You know, I mean, I know some people really like it, but it feels a little minor league, you know, in my opinion. You got a different opinion. 855-VOC-RADIO, 855-862-7234. Always looking for callers. No problem getting you in here. And after this, we continued more of the Rusev angle, who is now conveniently Russian. And we had Zeb Coulter and Jack Swagger come out and counter the lovely Russian Lana and Rusev with patriotic platitudes of their own. I don't want to call it the xenophobic angle, because I don't think that's what's going on here, Ryan, but I don't mind that kind of thing, you know, where the evil foreigners coming in and they talk about how great their country is. But I do find Jack Swagger and Zeb Coulter, and I like Zeb Coulter a lot, but they're just, I don't think they're pulling off the other side of it the way the patriotic babyface needs to.
I mean, yeah, it's weird to witness, but it seems to be working. The crowd's really buying into it. You know, they're chanting along. They're standing up, putting their hands on their chest. It might be weird to me and you, man, but it seems to be working.
Well, I mean, weird's not the thing. I mean, I just don't get the normally our patriotic baby faces, Stro, are like full of a bunch of fire and a certain kind of charisma. I don't get that from Jack Swagger. And while obviously, you know, Zeb Coulter been everywhere in the business, Dutch Mantel been everywhere, done everything, probably two or three times, he has charisma. I don't think he has that fiery patriotic baby face charisma that I'd like to see out of this role.
Well, I mean, he's far from being a Sergeant Slaughter or a Hacksaw Jim Duggan, more or less. But
right.
I mean, I think this feud is kind of breathing some new life into Swagger, and you know, with Dutch's help at the helm, I mean, you know, I feel it only can get better.
Yeah, I mean, certainly the crowd is into it. That doesn't always mean that it's, you know, necessarily good or even necessarily getting over. You know, crowds want to participate, and this is something they can do together. And you know, but I'm not. I don't know. I don't watch this on a regular enough basis to discern that. But you know, when I see this stuff, I just want more. I want, like, you know, even Sting taking on the Great Muta back in early WCW. I'm dating myself, man. I am old, folks. Dean Coffin with you here on Rubbed Raw. Moving right along, we were supposed to get Randy Orton versus Luther Reigns, but we didn't. And I felt ripped off because I'm always looking for. Kane. You're right. Yeah. Orton came out and ruined the whole thing. I can't get him off my mind because he ruined everything, Ryan.
Yeah, well, I guess it's a real shame we missed it on a Kane match tonight. But Randy Orton came out and beat up Reigns for an incredibly long time. But to be fair, this is the hottest I've heard the crowd be for, you know, against Randy Orton in months and months. So, you know, good for him. He was doing a good job of selling it.
How much of that, Stroh, has to do with them hating Randy Orton, and how much of it has to do with them just being so behind Luther Reigns?
I think it's a little bit of both because, I mean, Randy's like a true heel through and through. And, I mean, he's got it down, and with Reigns, I mean, people love the guy.
Yeah, he's pegged to be the next superstar, and I like him. Randy Orton has never done anything for me, and Ryan, you've lost literally years of your life listening to me whine about how boring I find Randy Orton.
Yeah, you don't like him, and I've definitely been bored by him plenty of times, but, you know, sometimes I dig him, and I've always loved the pose. It's one of my favorite poses.
It's a great pose.
That's a great pose. And tonight, I thought he did a good job, you know, milking the crowd. And, you know, he can be good when he wants to be.
Well, I mean, I think certainly he fits into the role that they need very well at the moment. Whether I like him or dislike him is irrelevant. Obviously, you know, like you said, the crowd's getting on him at this moment. And I want to just touch on this really quickly. The Stardust Goldust vignette. It was way out there with this crazy math equation on the chalkboard, like something we talk about on Compton After Dark, where we also talk about comic books in addition to wrestling. Looks very similar to an equation called the anti-life equation that you see in DC Comics sometimes. Way out there, and I don't know that I could describe it to anyone properly, but I'll be goddamn Stroh if I didn't like it about twice as much as I thought I would based on what it was. They're really pulling this off.
Oh, yeah. They're like the Batman and Robin of WWE right now. It's great. Great chemistry.
Ryan, I mean, what do you think about this? I mean, I know a lot of guys, especially hardcore fans like us, think that, you know, it's we don't like stuff when it's too cartoony, but I think we also like to have our fun, and this is pure fun.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time telling how this is doing with the fans, the whole Stardust thing, but when Stardust debuted, I said, like, you know, it'd be cool if they did where, like, Stardust is too weird for Goldust, you know, to where, like, Goldust has to kind of be the straight man. And that's sort of what they've been doing, and it's been a lot of fun so far.
Well, I'm a sucker for giant math equations. I think that I always think those are great, you know, I mean, even fake ones. I think those are really, really cool. So, you know, they had that up on the chalkboard, and you know, I really liked it. It was, like I said, I couldn't possibly describe what was going on. Looking for the cosmic key, you know, whatever that is. Ryan surmised that it probably will be the WWE Tag Team Championship. But in the meantime, it was just fun to see something. It was almost like a Monty Python, and now for something completely different. Oh, excuse me. Getting along in the show, we have a Seth Rollins-Chris Jericho match, and it continued this this unfortunate trend tonight that I also see a lot in World Wrestling Entertainment, Stroh, and that's that, you know, we can't have any finishes. Nobody can ever win. Nobody ever loses.
Yeah, you know, that really irks me, too, because I'm like you. I like to, you know, see solid finishes with solid matches, and, I mean, this was such a good match, you know what I mean? And then, but, you know, I understand the story lead into it with the Wyatts, as well, you know, the build-up for SummerSlam and everything with Bray and Chris, which that should be a great match at the pay-per-view. Well, special event, rather. I keep saying pay-per-view, but...
right.
But, yeah, I'm like you, though. I mean, you know, come on. It was such a good match. You will see a good, solid ending, you know, hands down.
Yeah, also, I mean, they're building up for SummerSlam, the special event, but we just saw this match at the last pay-per-view. Like, Jericho's only been back a month, Ryan, and I think I told you, I was like, it feels like he's been back three.
Yeah, I mean, part of that's just because it's a wide angle. It's kind of a rehash of Wyatt versus Cena. I mean, the promos are kind of similar, you know, you deceived us, you let us down, you know, all this stuff. And It just feels kind of like the same thing, except I imagine at the end of the day, Wyatt will probably go over in this one.
Yeah, and that's probably the right thing to do since, you know, Jericho won't be around full time. And it's a shame that he can't spend more, that he doesn't spend more time in WWE, Stro, because it was a good match, but I do feel like Jericho's still dusting off some of that ring rust, you know, a little bit of it. And if he just stay like maybe 8 or 10 months, I mean, I think we could really get, there's still a lot of great Chris Jericho for us if that works into his schedule.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Chris is such a great talent. And I mean, the more he sticks around, the more he gets better, of course. And you know, that's, but, you know, I see what he's doing. You know, he's using his star power, using his ability to help elevate a lot of the top guys in the company. And, you know, and he's doing right now with Bray Wyatt. So, I mean, I see what he's doing.
Right, right. And also, I don't begrudge him at all for having, other interests outside of WWE. I mean, you know, if he could use the stardom that he's built in his wrestling career to make money and not take bumps, power to him.
Amen to that.
So we're going to close out now with, a non-main event. And what makes the non-main event even more frustrating is in the match prior, we had a non-finish where, you know, the Wyatts got involved, beat up Chris Jericho some more. And then we have a non-main event where Steph and Bree are going to talk. And Steph wants to make a deal with Bree because she doesn't want to go to jail, you know, after the events that happened on previous Raw. And I'll be honest, I'm a sucker for the restraining order thing. Guy has to go to jail. I love it. I especially love it when someone, like, backs into somebody and didn't know they were there. I love that. So I think they're doing a decent job with that at least. And Bree challenges Stephanie to a match at SummerSlam, and Stephanie acts very emo, but then at the end, it turns out that she wasn't emo. You know, bitch slaps, because bitch is the word of the segment, Bree to the floor from the apron. Bree, you know, comes back in a house of fire, and that's when the road agents that we talked about when Brian called, got out there, separated everything, and maybe for the first time in WWE history, Ryan, the show went off the air with a Jamie Noble chant.
Yeah, I can't believe that was a chant. We were trying to figure out what it was, but that's awesome that was the case. That segment was a lot hotter than I would have expected it to be, but more power to him, man. It's cool to see, in Divas match get main event status and get this kind of props from the crowd. You know, good for you, Bella. But I wasn't as into it as the crowd was, but I mean, it was contagious.
Yeah, this was an exceptionally hot crowd all evening for what I have, been unabashedly in favor of calling a lackluster or mediocre Raw. I figure because it's in Houston and the Astros aren't good and the Texans had an awful year and they don't have many college sports to speak of. The Cougars are on their way down. So maybe I'm in football. So maybe that's why they were so hot. But I think one of the reasons they really got behind this segment, Stro, was because they are cheering for Daniel Bryan vicariously through Bree.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, I got to admit, the build's been really nice this feud with Steph and Bree. So I'm anxious to see, what more comes out of it leading up to SummerSlam.
She really, she being Stephanie, really has great facial expressions. It seems like she inherited that from her dad, Ryan.
Yeah, man, absolutely. She's definitely a very hateable heel. Like, you definitely root to see her come up.
But that was basically it, folks. Like I said, to me it was lackluster, a little mediocre. It just, when we were watching it, I said, I think Nine Inch Nails wrote a song about WWE once, and it was called Every Day is Exactly the Same. Every time I watch a Raw, it seems like the last Raw I watched. It's, every time I watch a pay-per-view, it seems like the Raw I watched the week before. And, maybe I'm just too hard on the product. That's entirely possible because, excuse me, I get to watch a lot of ECW now and stuff on the network. So now I have a lot of really good stuff at my fingertips. So it's harder to appreciate, this ongoing stuff. But the crowd was hot. There was a good six-man, and the Stephanie Bree angle is taking off pretty well. You got some final thoughts for us, Stro?
Well, even though some parts of the Raw program tonight was kind of lackluster, they're still on a solid build-up towards SummerSlam, and which we saw with the Brie Bella segment with Stephanie McMahon, and furthering progress the feuds with Bray Wyatt and Jericho, and with Cena and Brock Lesnar. So I mean, hopefully next week we'll get some more solid wrestling action to go along with that.
With real finishes.
Absolutely, absolutely.
You got a final thought on this, Raw, Ryan?
Not really, man. I wish there were some fresher matches to look forward to that weren't in Battleground. And I wish Dean Ambrose was on the show tonight because I think he's the most entertaining guy they got right now. But they're saving him for main event tomorrow night on the WWE Network.
One other piece of business, non-WWE, that I just want to chat with you guys about real quick before we get off of here, and that is that TMZ reported today that Impact Wrestling will get canceled by Spike TV. Now, both Spike and TNA say that there is that they're not going to comment on negotiations in progress. But TMZ, you know, I mean, they're probably not, you know, breaking this without a really solid source. Stro, let's start with you. Just to, you know, a couple of quick thoughts about what I think is going to be the end of TNA. That's it.
Well, it's sad to see. I got some friends, you know, with the company, and you know, I never wish bad on anything, any company trying to promote pro wrestling. You know, I mean, more competition the merrier. So I just wish that if things can't be worked out with Spike, that the talent can go elsewhere, and you know, you keep the pro wrestling thing going.
Ryan, what, you know, just a couple quick thoughts about this.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I love all the, you know, wrestlers in TNA. You know, you guys got to, you know, pay the bills. If this is the end of the company, you know, that's a shame because I want everybody to land their feet. And like Stro said, any competition is good competition. So I guess we'll see. They definitely been putting out a questionable product, in my opinion, and probably a lot of other people's opinion for a while now. But, you know, you kind of hate to see it end like this.
I hope it goes on because I don't want to see anybody lose their job, and not just wrestlers, guys, but, you know, cameramen, microphone people, office personnel. I mean, there are a lot of jobs that will be affected because of this. And also, it, when TNA did things right, I think they had a very entertaining program at various intervals in their history. And there's always a chance, as long as they were around, that they could bust into something bigger. It just never really happened, and hopefully if they go away, some other company fills the vacuum really quickly, because we can't just have one nationwide and international wrestling company in this country. I think that would be detrimental, if not deadly, for the wrestling business. But this has been Rubbed Raw. Really appreciate everybody tuning in. Tune in next week. We'll be right here. Listen to me Thursday night at midnight on Her Dork World, His Dork World. Listen to me again on Compton After Dark Sunday night at 11:30. I'm Dean Compton for the Stro and Ryan Mays. This has been Rubbed Raw on the VOC Nation Worldwide. We'll see you next time, folks.